is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Lisa Edelstein is here tonight.
Hi.
Hi. She's from House. Big hit on Fox Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. And Drew, it's a show about medicine, so I'm assuming.
I don't watch those.
Do you really? You don't watch them? Mm-hmm. This one's really entertaining because the lead guy gets to say all kinds of mean things to his patients.
I know. Drives
many,
me crazy.
Many doctors live vicariously.
Yeah. He just had, I just saw in the spot during the commercial of a football game where
guy collapses.
Yeah, and he yelled for cleanup aisle five. Yeah. You don't do that, though, do you, Drew?
No.
I mean, you have a patient collapse, you don't call for a nurse, you have sex with them.
How dare
well,
you?
Once they're down on the ground,
yeah,
it's then just I call easy access.
What do
right,
you do?
Right. Lisa, by the way, Dr. Drew, not well tonight.
No.
What's going on?
Hey, lovely, you know, vomiting, diarrhea. It's a good thing. It's a good time. It's washed out.
When did you vomit last?
During the night. I've had
last
intense
night.
Nausea, though, trying to make it not happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Nausea is the worst. Mm. It's so exhausting.
Nothing worse. Mm. Nothing worse.
Yeah. Can we not talk about it?
All right, but
it reminded me, strangely enough, today I was having a flashback to a car trip Adam and I took in Philadelphia.
We drove from Philadelphia to
Maryland. Or something.
Maryland, yeah. Still unable to get a clear story on who Chevy Chase is and what Chevy Chase Maryland is and who was Chevy Chase. And people are like, yeah, he played Fletch. No. There's a guy named Chevy Chase, and there's a bunch of streets named Chevy Chase, and there's a Chevy Chase, Maryland, and we can't get a story on
who the original Chevy Chase was.
Mm-hmm. Does Chevy Chase, the actor, did he get named after the great Chevy Chase who settled Maryland
all
and
very
parts
interesting,
of Glendale?
But not nearly as important to me as the experience I had lying desperately on the back of that car, wanting to retch with a fever. While Adam and the driver carried on about meatball sandwiches or something.
Food.
Oh, that's so unfair.
I finally just sat up and said, just shut up!
He screamed. I still hear his voice echoing in my head.
I threw up once on the way to camp when I was 7 years old, and somebody asked me if it was chunky, and after that I couldn't.
That's it.
I couldn't eat anything that had chunky on the package.
Did you, I'm trying to think. See, Drew, well, we don't want to talk about it anymore, but...
Let's
talk about diarrhea.
All right, let's do it. That was a little easier on me.
Yeah, so now, what do you think you got? Did you get something?
I think
something?
A virus. Viral gastroenteritis. You got a virus, yeah.
And what is... Everyone's freaking out every year about the bird flu.
Well, this
and
year,
China flu.
Bizarre and, preoccupations with the
bizarre.
Flu, which has had one documented case of human-to-human transmission.
And Canada's got this remedy. We should order it by the case.
They're called neuraminidase.
It's an antiviral.
They're called neuraminidase inhibitors, and they block the viral release from the cell, basically, because virus has to go out into other cells, infect them, and reproduce. Yeah. If you stay stuck to the cell you started with, you can't go out and reproduce.
Here's what happens.
So it reduces the symptoms. It doesn't cure you.
No,
it
prevents the virus from reproducing. So during the first 48 hours of viral infection,
if you catch it in time,
if you catch it, then you can block the growth and therefore block the syndrome.
Here's what I've really realized: this is how people work, which is if you put people are supposed to be sort of fighting for their lives on a daily basis. I mean, trying to get enough food to sustain themselves
for
another day,
yes.
Being chased by animals and that kind of stuff. When you eliminate all that aspect of life and just have a person sit around an air-conditioned house with a cupboard filled with dried food and a refrigerator filled with milk and eggs, they start obsessing on other things because there's that sort of human drive to survive, except for we've eliminated it, and it now gets replaced by talking about pit bull attacks. And
we have the luxury of being neurotic.
Dirty bombs. That's I think when you take a human being and you remove all of the elements of danger,
survival,
struggle, and survivor, then you get neurotic.
Yeah.
That's what you get. That's why the Jews are neurotic and the blacks aren't.
Because they're still
blacks
trying to survive.
Blacks are still dodging gunfire and trying to get something to eat. The Jews got it all worked out. That's why they think they have a tumor every 20 seconds. Think about it, Drew. Jews, they're comfortable. They're cool. They got stuff worked out.
Except that every few generations, people have to, like, slaughter the herd.
Well, it is true. It is true. Once in a while, a Hitler pops up. But I'm saying, in general, people who are living sort of hand to mouth in, you know, Africa they're not neurotic.
No.
They can't afford to be neurotic.
Also, the real thing is we have erased genuine medical problems from the face of America.
Right.
People don't know the difference between a real problem and not a real problem.
It's true. I was traveling in India. I was just telling Dr. Drew I was traveling in India, and I had lunch with my driver's family. It was 28 people living in a very small room, and 5 of them had typhoid.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Pass the chutney, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So what do we start obsessing on? Killer mold.
Right.
And allergies that don't exist. You know, this country has more people with more food allergies that don't exist. How come magically the poor Mexicans who are waiting over at the Home Depot to jump in the back of the bus, do they have any food allergies? I can only eat the flour tortillas. I cannot eat the corn ones.
They're eating the cactus in the back of your house.
Right. They don't. Poor people magically have no food allergies. They never go anywhere and there's like, is there dairy product in that? Is there flour? I have a wheat allergy. How come when you're poor you don't get to have allergies? Why? Because you make them up when you're rich. That's what you do. And you love, and those people, they're all the environmental allergies with the carpet and the paint. And it's only poor people have this. Only rich people have this. Poor people magically, they're not allergic to their sofa. They'll sleep on anything at any time.
That's right.
I know we all have that component.
There are poor people who are living in such poor conditions, such foul conditions.
But those people get sick.
They get
those are the areas where the people are the least educated and don't realize they're being poisoned, toxically poisoned.
They drink water that's contaminated, but they're not allergic to the paint on the wall of the house that has no paint on it, by the way.
Or the gas station that's on that block in that area, like the gas is leaking into the water system. There's all kinds of problems that go on.
Go to a county hospital. You don't see that kind of thing. What you see is tens of thousands of people with genuine medical problems because they get them.
Get through a consulting gig on house.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Come on.
I'm going to come on. Once I get over the vomiting, I'm ready to come on.
Bring the vomit with you.
Yeah. You'd be the consultant on house. You know, Drew doesn't watch medical shows because he...
It's a shame. I think you'd really like
it. They drive me crazy.
They drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Well, because sometimes the science is a little bit sketchy.
The science is sketchy and
my father's a doctor. He loves it.
But things are so over... Because you're in it. If you were my daughter, I'd love it too. But it's things are so over-dramatized.
How dare you, Drew? It's a good show.
It is a great show. But when a doctor goes...
it's a great show? You've never seen it.
Hold on. I didn't say great. I said good.
I hear a lot about it and I watch it. But when a doctor says, the patient is having a cardiac arrest, I'm like, okay, I can turn channel. It's like, it's coding, let's go. It's just as if it's your job. You're busy. You're not announcing things.
We
do
it that way.
Come on, Drew. Give it a chance.
What I love is that we...
Tuesday at 9, I got to have a date with that. Tuesday at 9. All right.
Tuesday, not this week, though, because right now it's the World Series baseball whole situation.
Sure.
So we have to wait till that's done.
Sure, we got
to
play 700 games a year. The greatest thing that happened this weekend is that the Sox got Red Sox got eliminated, so I don't have to go through that at the office for
anymore.
Another because
nice.
That stretches out well, for
get,
months.
You're gonna get the Yankees
months.
Instead, though.
Yeah.
Now the Yankees don't work with enough of them. Not quite as obnoxious as the Red Sox people.
You agree.
That the Yankees people are less obnoxious than the Red Sox. Well, yeah, well, the Red Sox people were desperate after all those years.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And then it was a miracle, and then the whole thing. God into the whole thing.
The Yankees fans have a little been there, done that.
Yeah.
Also, not greater in numbers, but not obnoxious, not abrasive.
And they're so used to winning.
And they're just used to winning.
And by the way, did you notice guys like Sheffield, when you see them out in the field, they're skinny guys now?
They're not. They're
deflated.
All off the juice.
Oh, really?
It's striking.
I haven't watched any games. That's really funny.
Striking how the guys have shrunk down.
And are there less home runs?
I don't know that.
I don't think that's definitive yet. We'll wait and see. Bond seemed to hit a few dingers. Sierra?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, me and my husband have been married for about 8 years. and we've been together for 9. About the last probably like 5 years, I've got a problem with sex drive, I guess.
Do you have kids?
I have 3, but only one lives at home.
What? Mm-hmm. What's the matter?
I don't know.
Where are they living?
Well,
no, we're on to your kids now. Where are the 2 that don't live at home?
Circumstances happened, and I lost 2 of them.
Mm. Are you a drug addict? Is that what happened?
Huh?
Tsunami. I'm going tsunami. They floated away?
You're going to have to be... Listen, we're trying to figure out why you have a particular biological problem that may or may not have a psychological component to it. What happened that caused you...
I was accused of child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be accused on 2 children and to lose them, that's a little more than an accusation.
I was accused of child abuse on 1 of them. While I was fighting to get him back, we got pregnant with the 2nd one. Because the case was still ongoing, they
are you what are you retarded? You're trying to wrestle 1 of your kids back from court, and you get knocked up during that period of time.
Well, it wasn't planned, but I wasn't
Okay. Listen, all you idiots, would you stop populating the world with effed up people so we can get on with our lives? I'm just tired of it. I'm tired that there's no connection between people like Sierra crapping out kids that get thrown through the system and us having to put alarms on everything and double bolt everything at night.
So it's not exactly the happiest household at this point.
We'll go with no.
We would also predict that you probably had some abuse of your own growing up.
Well, what had happened with my son, I had asked a family member to hold him while I went to the restroom. She dropped him. He ended up with a hairline fracture on his head and took him to the doctor. They found it. They called social services, whole 9 yards. He was about 5 months old. I got pregnant with my 2nd child during this whole thing going on. I was probably pregnant when it happened and didn't know yet.
Right.
We fought to...
Hold on a second, Drew. I know I've been wrong about this almost
this time
every
you're
time.
Right.
I just we were talking about it with Lisa earlier. I just feel in my heart of hearts, Texas, 2 kids in the system, court system.
Abuse.
Didn't know she was pregnant.
Well,
Sierra, Jewish,
yeah.
Right? Jewish?
No.
You're Jew? You're Jew?
No.
What?
Nope.
No?
No.
No? I'm just dumbfounded, Drew. You know me, man. I'm spot on,
you're
man.
You can pick them.
I got cat-like reflexes and instincts, and I've been wrong 50 straight times. 50 times
I'm
in a
shocked.
Row, Drew. How do you know? Wow. Wow. And I thought you could stereotype, but I guess you can't. I guess you just can't. Wow, I was way off. Sorry. So, now, how did the other kid get into the system?
The case was still open. It was still in court. So, when he was born, when the 2nd child was born, they took him straight from the hospital. He never came home.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
we waited. We waited about 5 years, got pregnant with number 3.
Oh,
my
God.
He came home. We have him.
All right. And so they're both in foster care or?
No, they were adopted by the same family. They're together.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, that's good.
And how old is the 3rd one?
He's 1. He's my 1.
And by the way, if anyone listening wonders why when we ask about adoption histories and go, oh, you were 3 months in and then you got, this is the circumstance in which kids get adopted out at 5 months of age.
All right. Well, that's good. So no more kids, please.
Are you breastfeeding the 1-year-old?
No, I couldn't. Right. After 4 months, my milk went bad.
So that's not
went
it.
Bad?
It went bad.
Sour?
That's what my grandmother said.
Yeah,
to
pretty
take
much.
Bad milk.
You right.
Your milk doesn't really go bad.
I really feel like I'm talking to someone like back in time.
I know. Yeah. It's impossible for your milk to go bad. It's not like you haven't refrigerated it.
Yeah, well,
it
soured really bad. One day it looked like milk. The next day it looked like clear and it stank.
This is clear from Mice and Men.
Clear is good.
It changes.
4 months?
Yeah, it changes its content. Like at the beginning, it's giving 1 thing, and then it gives another after.
All right, well, forget it.
Okay, that's too much.
All right, Sierra, are you still with the same guy?
Oh, yes, we've been married for 8 years.
All right.
And are you on birth control pill?
Oh, yes.
What pill? What are you taking?
Ovcon.
Nice. And
birth control pill?
Is that the injection?
No, it's Ovcon. A pill. It's Ovcon 35. It's a pill.
Okay. And you've been on that for how long?
I've been on this since baby number 3 was about a month old.
All right.
I got put on it directly. I don't want any more. I don't want any more kids.
All right. So it's not, the birth control pill can't affect your sex drive either up or down.
All right. But did we establish whether you were sexually abused or anything like that?
I was molested when I was younger.
All right. Well, that's
not a Jew, huh? No. Please, quiet. Let her answer. No.
No, I was raised.
Oh, how could that be?
I'm always right, Drew. Yeah. Always.
Maybe some of your issues are popping up at this point.
Yes, here. To go from hypersexual to hyposexual is a characteristic of having been sexually abused. So being shut down sexually in the face of chaos, in the face of abandonment and loss, all that would be anticipated.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. And again, when kids get sexually abused and stuff like that, we don't want to keep an eye on them. Give them a little education.
Tag them.
Give them a little help. Just give him a little help.
I know,
so they don't crap out 3 kids and put 2 in the system.
So what does she do?
She got to get some therapy.
It's mental health services. I mean, which I imagine she's been getting through social services.
Yeah.
And the point is her libido should be the least of our concerns right now. There's so many bigger issues here.
Yeah.
And yes, the birth control pill, the more estrogenized pills can sometimes help with your libido. Sometimes the triphasic in some people, they find more libido.
Katie?
But just reading her depression probably would help manage it, too.
Katie?
Hello?
Hello?
There you go.
I don't know. Maybe it's depression. I don't know.
All right.
Not necessarily depression. I just say 2 things before I say anything. It's A, Adam Carolla, you rock. I watched your show. I watched Loveline back in the day when it was on television. Dr. Drew, I respect your opinion like no other, more so than my psychologist when I was younger, which says a lot.
Oh. So what's up tonight? Thank you for the compliment. What's your question?
My question is I live with my boyfriend right now in Huntington Beach, Orange County, and I don't know. I work in a bar where single men are a plethora, and you know, I go home every night. I don't know if I'm okay to
single
say that.
Single men plenty.
Right, right.
I go home horny for men, and sometimes I wonder it's for him or I wonder if it's for other people. I mean, I'm attracted to so many different men. I'm attracted to women. I'm attracted to 1 or 2 different women, you know, and it's very confusing right now.
All right, look.
How old is she?
She's 21. Is your boyfriend treating you right?
Sometimes. He starts to drink, and he can get mean.
Katie's drinking a bit, too, though. Yeah, I'll say.
Okay.
Katie, you've got an alcoholic dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all,
He's not drunk anymore. My dad is actually...
I know, but now you are.
He passed away.
And you've got the gene.
Still has some alcohol in the system, technically.
Formaldehyde.
I know. My dad methanol. Was actually an alcoholic heroin addict, and my mom actually just recently died of cancer, and my boyfriend was a big participant in the recovery of a relationship that I didn't know.
Here's the deal, Katie. All this chaos you've got in your relationships are going to continue until you deal with your own alcoholism. And I know people are going to say, you're jumping to that. Yes, that's the overarching situation here. And that all the acting out, all the chaos in relationships, all the codependency and enmeshments and use of sexuality as a way of sort of regulating feelings, that's all the trauma of being in an alcoholic addict family and the gene of alcoholism. If you really want to get better, go to a 12-step meeting, get a sponsor, and start doing the steps.
Are you good looking?
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you're screwed up and you're a female and you're hot, you are essentially
a target.
You're a target, but you're also sort of dangerous to yourself. It's essentially like taking a guy who's violent and impulsive and whatever and saying, look, here's a gun. Here's some protective clothing. No one can hurt you. You can hurt and just sort of tell him, but don't use it in anger. Like, take care of it. You know, like if you're hot and you're 21 and your dad was a junkie and people are after you sexually and you work at a bar, saying like, hey, honey, just stay on the straight and narrow It's temptation every single night.
Literally like an obese person living in the Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and saying, just take it easy, take it easy.
Yeah. Right.
Like, nuh-uh.
Right. And I don't know.
The hard part is that it's really hard to get someone to actually stop that behavior until they've so bottomed out on
That's correct.
You're talking to
you're,
air.
You're
but,
absolutely right.
But you heard it here. You heard it here first.
Well, other people may hear it. And
well, maybe she should go to Al-Anon too. I was thinking
about that with her, and she's had a therapist, I think she said. And again, I'm just thinking of ways that she can help herself. And Al-Anon is a good idea too.
All right, Katie.
No, Adam. When I was 13, I went to Al-Anon for my father. When I was 15, I got sober for the first time for myself. And then when I was 17, I had relapsed. When I was 16, I got sober for the second time by myself. I moved out when I was 14. Okay. I got sober for 2 years.
Now I know she's hot because she's just blowing hard about getting sober,
it's a serious struggle. I mean, God bless her for trying.
No, it's not.
A lot of times, all those ins and outs of the program are just you might even be educating yourself on how to get high better, but ultimately you're gonna.
Not so much. If anything, I've educated myself on not how to get high.
I understand.
I've never touched a needle. I never went back to what I went into the program for.
But you're still using, and it still hits the medial forebrain bundle, which is where the disease of alcoholism and addiction takes place. And until you are completely sober, completely abstinent, and active in a program with a sponsor, this is going to keep evolving. Things are going to know this.
So, what about your guy? Tell me about your guy. Do you trust him? I don't trust him.
No, I do. That's the thing is that he's not abusive. He doesn't hit me. If anything, he is 3 years older than I am. He verbally abuses me probably once every 3 months.
All right, I'm going to pretend you're not an alcoholic and you don't work in a bar. Katie, you're 21. People in their 20s treat each other like crap. It's tough to have a monogamous relationship. This one is not likely to last. Go out, date. You're already saying you're going to do that. Don't get into any chaos with this guy because God knows what he'll do. Break it off and then start dating again.
All right. That's a good enough place to break. Lisa Edelstein is here tonight from House, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, Drew's new favorite show. Dr. Lisa Cuddy.
Semi cardiac arrest.
Stat, D5W lactate ringers. He's seizing on me. Don't die on me. Damn, you live. Doctor, you don't understand. You can't play God anymore. But I hold myself responsible forever. We've got to get over it. There used to be a lot of people slapping. I missed the time when people would slap someone in the face, tell them to get hold of themselves. They do it to Nick. That's about the only time you could hit a chick, too. She was getting out of control. I can't do it. Squat. By the way, does that work? I think if my wife was spinning out and I whacked her, she'd just turn whatever aggression she was coming out would just turn it on me,
and
right?
She'd pick up a lamp,
She'd throw something at me. She wouldn't thank me.
No.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that mild beating.
That.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lisa Edelstein is here.
Hi.
Or do I go Stein?
Steen.
Better.
Or Edelstein.
Ooh. She's
German.
She's
laughing time is over.
Look at her TV guest appearance list.
Wow.
It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Impressive body
Thank
of
you.
Work. Tuesday nights. She is on a little show called House, Fox, 9 o'clock, Drew's new favorite show, and doing nicely. Is this the second season, or was it a replacement last season?
No, we had a whole season last year, and this is our second whole season.
I'm all over the road on the seasons. I used to be able to figure them out, and then I started getting burned because shows were replacement shows that I thought were running full season.
Yeah, I mean, we started really late because they didn't start us at all till after baseball last year, so we started in November.
Hmm. But well, that's why I feel that way.
Where do you film?
At Fox.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Long hours?
Sometimes it can be pretty long. For Hugh, it's the worst. For me, it's not so bad.
Yeah, he's got to carry the weight, you know.
Yeah, he's there all the time.
Yeah, you got a good gig. Hang out, relax, wait till they call you.
I'm a trust fund child.
Samantha?
Yes.
24?
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend won't maintain an erection during sex. Ever. Mm. We've been having sex for like 3 months. I mean, it comes back, mm-hmm. but like it goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back.
Well, you say won't instead of can't.
Like you're doing it on
may
purpose.
Just be semantics, but it sounds like you're blaming him a little too.
It's not, you know, honestly, he's the first guy that I've ever actually had an orgasm during sex with.
Mm.
And I don't know if that makes a difference, but I mean, it's the best sex that I've ever had.
Well,
how long are you having sex for?
Hold on a sec. Is that?
You missed your point.
Okay. It's the best sex she's ever had, though, everybody.
Soft penis.
Boy, how bad was the guy who was before this guy?
He was pretty bad.
Yeah. That's relative. Ooh. What's up with you? All right. You smoke a lot of weed?
No, I don't smoke weed.
Okay. So this guy's the best sex you've ever had, except for he doesn't have an erection half the time.
Yeah.
How long are you having sex for?
It varies sometimes for like 20, 25 minutes. One time we had sex for almost an hour.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it he's able to continue with a soft penis?
He just like kind of pinches it, I guess, and puts it back in.
So he gets a good
and
condom?
And it'll get hard again in just a couple of minutes, like not even a minute, really.
Is he wearing a condom
during this?
Yeah. No.
No condom.
A couple times that we have used a condom, it's come off inside me.
Yeah, because he gets a little off. Flaccid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what? How often are you doing this?
We have sex at least once a day.
So maybe he's having trouble keeping up the pace.
Is he on any medication or anything?
No.
Give him a 5-day break. See if that problem doesn't go away.
Okay.
You okay?
Does he get upset when it happens?
Kind of. You can tell it is. Like,
do you accuse him of having it going soft the way you did when you started this conversation?
Do what now?
He refuses to keep his penis hard.
You accused him of not being hard.
Don't try to talk to him.
Samantha.
What? Okay, is he cool? Are you guys all right? You get along well?
Yeah. It's a really weird situation about us getting together because I was going to get married and broke off my engagement to be with him.
Ugh. Do you work with him?
Nope. I don't work.
How did this, tell us a little more. How did this happen?
It doesn't work.
How did it happen that we got together?
Yeah.
Well, he was just a friend of some of my guy friends that I hang out with, and all my guy friends always used to hit on me and stuff, but I was always like, I'm not leaving my boyfriend because we've been together for almost 4 years. And
until I decided to leave him.
Right.
I met this guy, and it was like instantaneous. And so I ended up, I wasn't going to cheat on my fiancé, so I broke up with him.
Now, what's this guy do for a living?
He's an electrician.
And the part, though, where you sort of decide that if I dump this other person, we're going to be together, is sort of cheating.
What's this now?
Did you guys work it out? I mean, you're not going to cheat on your fiance, but you just found another guy when you're engaged.
So she was emotionally cheating.
And decided to, and knew that this guy felt the same way about you and were ready to, you knew everything was in order. You had a new job lined up before you quit your old job. You didn't just fill out an application and hope that they hired you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly what my fiance said to you, basically.
Yeah.
Because
all right.
We have a child together, so we still.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, and you taking care of the kid now? Hold on. Arkansas, married an electrician, kid out of wedlock,
you.
Impulsively dumps the fiance to be with the electrician. You got to be Jewish, am I right? Please.
Jewish? Samantha. Oh, no.
God.
You're 100% wrong.
100. Yeah. Lisa, I've Drew, instinctually,
usually
I'm very
instincts.
Right on.
Usually.
Great insight.
Can't
great instincts.
Something
great
weird
instincts. Something weird because how many times now?
I can't count.
It's 50 times. 50 never. Times never once. Always
exactly
wrong.
The opposite.
It's almost like the opposite. Wow. But here's the important thing. You cannot stereotype, and you can't judge. It's impossible. Everyone is exactly the same.
Case in point.
Samantha has all the characteristics of a Jew,
anyone would know.
yet not Jewish. That's how come I've learned you can never judge, ever. It's impossible. There's no such thing as knowing anything about anybody before they do it.
No,
we're all different. Everyone is exactly true. as a surgeon, as exactly when you different. Open somebody up,
you never know what you're going to find.
You never know what you're going to find.
Could be a
three lungs
alien.
And no heart, five hearts and no lungs. We're all totally different. You'll never know. That's why you can't judge.
Can't profile.
Same way dentist. Dentist looks at the tooth. He doesn't know. Doesn't know your teeth from Lisa's teeth from my teeth.
Just they're like all different.
They're all different. That's why we need a drill. We need a special drill
for
bit
person.
For every person on the planet because we're all so different. We can just never, ever judge. All right, Samantha.
Yeah.
So this sounds like a delightful situation. Could you not get pregnant by this guy, please?
Yeah, I'm working real hard on that. So.
Good.
Good.
I got on birth control. It's awesome, let me tell you.
Do you have shared custody of your child?
We have just an agreement between the two of us. So he watches him at night, two nights a week, and then he, on his days off from work, he gets to spend that day with him.
Oh, so, that's good. You guys
him, and your friends.
I have a couple night classes that I actually had to take, so he watches him those two nights.
All right. That's good. That's got to be comfortable when he comes and picks the kid up. The electrician shows up at the door. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Especially he's wearing his clothes. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, baby. All right, have fun. See the kid in rehab. I always hope it's a girl so we can get a stripper out of the equation. You know what I mean? When it's a guy, we just get a violent criminal. Mm-hmm. Girl, hey.
Stripper.
Just throw in the porn hopper. Awesome. Yeah, but the guy, but then they become breeders and hosts, you know?
Then they
for
have
more
boys,
trouble.
Yeah.
But great dancers.
Awesome dancers. Yeah. Awesome dancers. Now this is Maya, right?
Yep.
All right. Maya?
Hi.
What's happening? 17?
Hi. Okay, I'm bisexual, and I've had a boyfriend for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I hooked up with his girl cousin, and I got
you're a lesbian.
STD.
And you got an STD by hooking up with a girl cousin.
What did you get? What STD?
Gotta be Jewish.
What? Hey,
yeah.
I'm Jewish.
Are you?
I am.
Are you? Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Seriously.
well, hold on. Now, did you have a bat mitzvah?
Yeah.
You did?
I did.
For those, this is Drew's favorite joke, by the way. For those of you who don't know what the bat mitzvah is, it's when the young Jewish girl becomes a man.
I don't know why Drew likes it.
All right, right. Who are you guys kidding with that thing? And at 13... You guys got to raise that to 28.
Aren't your daughters, how old are they now?
13.
Oh, great.
It's not bat mitzvah time for them, though, Drew.
One.
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
So, wait a minute now. Hold on. You, what ST did you contract?
I got gonorrhea.
From the girl?
Yeah. She had touched herself and then had touched me, and it, like, got on in my vagina.
Are you sure you didn't get it from your boyfriend?
Yeah, because I don't know. Then I pass it on to him, and he's telling me that he has gonorrhea and that he hasn't been with anyone else, and he's blaming it on.
How was this diagnosed with everybody?
How was it diagnosed?
Uh huh.
Well, I went to the doctor.
Yeah, and what'd they do?
And I went to the gynecologist, and she wiped me with a cotton like.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And said that. I had gonorrhea.
All right.
Not right
there. You buy
there.
That?
No.
Not right there?
No.
Well,
you have chlamydia or you have some sort of STD, but you wouldn't use the word gonorrhea.
Because she has to test it.
Takes a while.
Well, maybe it took a while. Maybe she's just expediting the story.
Are you expediting the story or did she tell you that right away?
No, she told me that.
Right away?
Well, she said I had some sort of STD.
She said you had some sort of STD.
Yes, you have STD.
That's
you don't
different.
Have gonorrhea. It's very different.
And then when did she say gonorrhea?
Well, after, like, a while, she had said that.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, that I buy.
What's so different about STD and gonorrhea?
The STD is, like...
Is nonspecific.
Yeah, like pneumonia.
No, I know that, but I mean, gonorrhea is an STD,
people
right?
People, when they use a specific disease state of specific bacterium, like Neisseria gonorrhea, that means somebody tested for it and grew it, and that right. takes a while. Not, usually what they do is they say, you've got an STD, I see evidence of it.
Right,
we're going to give you this shot.
That's what
we're
she
give
did.
You a shot, we're going to give you this pill, and that's that.
She was just picking up the pace. I
so
like
did
that.
So did she tell you she had you'd gonorrhea, or did your boyfriend tell
and
you?
And by the way, gonorrhea, you're not going to get by the touching of the finger, all those
no.
stuff. You can get the other ones. Some other ones you can get that way, but you're not going to get gonorrhea.
What were you doing?
Isn't there gonorrhea of the mouth that goes around now, like over
yeah,
the throat?
Yeah, it's cool.
What were you doing screwing around with your female cousin?
No, it was his cousin.
Oh, even better.
Hit your boyfriend's cousin?
Yeah.
Female cousin?
Yeah.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No.
Or you've been...
I had one, but not anymore.
All right.
Mm. Yeah. I get this is that whole thing.
Okay. And boy, this is chaotic.
Yeah, this is
whew.
But I don't know if it's like I really got it from him or not. I don't know if he's being truthful about him.
I don't think he's being truthful.
We're just making a bigger assessment here of the chaos that you're in.
What's going on with you?
You've got what's called a personality disorder, at least at this stage of your life, and it's part of that is an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And the chaos that have you been in psychiatric hospitals before?
What? No. I've not been in the psych ward, but I was in treatment for the eating disorder.
Okay. So then that's a chronic condition. Now, why aren't you still in treatment for that?
Why aren't I? Because I'm recovering right now. I'm doing a lot
better. She's licked it, true.
That'd be a lot better.
The good ironic slogan, lick eating disorder. Yeah. I like the generic, once in a while I was driving behind a cop car on the way in tonight, and it was just like, stop senior abuse. That's it? That's all you guys come up with? Stop senior abuse?
A rather pathetic bumper sticker.
Yeah, like no ass, Sherlock. But yeah. You guys can't do any better than that? How many of those bumper stickers have stopped senior abuse? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was driving over to my grandmother's house to kick the S out of her. I got behind a street sweeper that had the N senior abuse on it, and it made me do some soul searching. I went home and beat the crap out of my kids instead. Yeah, we got to work on that in this city. All right. This is Maya.
Yeah.
So Maya, we're more worried about the chaos.
More therapy now, baby. You're acting out.
The part of all the sexual stuff is still symptomatic of the kinds of things that were associated with your eating disorder.
So just be like honest with my therapist kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, please, yes. Maya, please. Yes, yes, absolutely.
And end senior abuse.
End it. If you're not honest with your therapist, you can't get anything accomplished.
Hmm. It'll be funny to have a one in Mexico that said, and senior abuse. Like a...
Sadite.
Sadite. Sadite. I just realized, we must have some sort of slush fund of extra money that we don't know what to do with. So we come up with stuff like, saying no to drugs and all that kind of stuff. I also had that thing happen tonight, which drives me berserk, is a highway patrolman doing 51 all the way on the 101, like people scared to pass. Here's the whole thing about, listen, we have cops listening to the show.
I like when they're going 75 and you can...
Be on the move, would you? Please do not do that mental game where you're driving 53. And here's the thing about the freeways out here. They go from 55 to 65, back to 55, back to... I've lived here my entire life. I could not tell you the stretches that are 65 versus the ones that are 55. And so when the cop is doing 53...
Freaks you out.
It freaks you out. You don't want to pass him. And here in L.A., now in other cities, I hear it's not such a big deal, but here we're totally freaked out. Here's the thing about cop cars. They should be made to either go over 70 or under 30. There should be no intermediate zone where they can just do that 53 thing and have it. It's like, you know what they become? They become the pace car at the Indy 500, just a whole stack of people. And then when they pull off an off-ramp, it's like that's when the race begins. That's how it works. They become a pace car, people scared to pass. All right, let's take a little break. Lisa Edelstein here tonight. She plays Dr. Lisa Cootie. It's a good one, though. Yeah. House, everyone, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, Fox, Drew's new favorite show.
Yeah.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Lisa Edelstein here tonight.
Hi.
House. Name her show. Tuesday nights on Fox.
The Hizzy.
Doing 9 o'clock. Doing quite well. 17 million viewers per week.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
That is awesome.
It's fun.
I'm amazed. I think it's one of these blue state things, like when you hear about biggest sport in the world, NASCAR. You're like, what? Huh? And then it's like, yeah, Renee Zellweger, she broke up with Kenny Chesney. Who's Kenny Chesney? Who's Kenny Chesney? Kenny Chesney, biggest act in the world. It's like, all right.
We're about
I feel. I feel
right
that
now
way.
I feel. All the time.
I feel that way with cable TV or satellite TV. Like you know, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, oh, the networks aren't going to exist 5 years from now. It's going to be all. Everyone's just going to be watching The Sopranos on HBO or watching softcore porn on Stars or something. Like what networks? Yeah, but now here comes Desperate Housewives and The House and all the the CSIs and all this stuff. I mean, they were on. It seemed like, oh, who's going to watch this? Well, they're back, or maybe they never went away. But they seem to have even gained some ground or something.
It's going to get really interesting now with TiVo because the way things are going, the days of commercial television are going to come. It's all going to be product placement. It'd be like, yeah. Can I pass you this cup of Nescafe? It's really right. Delicious. And then move on with the scene.
I don't know how it works either. Like when you're HBO and you're going to do Troy or Rome, you're doing
Where's that money, you know?
And it's like, yeah. We took an entire town in Tuscany and leveled it to the ground. Yeah. And we built the sets the likes of which no one has ever seen. And it's like, why?
One viewing?
Just show Ski Patrol again, would you? That's like if I ran HBO, I'd be like, oh, whoa. I've seen sketches and budgets. No, we're not going to do any of that. You think it's going to get anyone to buy it? We'll rerun something. What's that, Troy? There's a movie that takes place in Rome. Yeah, let's show that again.
Who's got MASH these days?
Who's got that?
Isn't Troy in Rome? Somewhere near there.
Maybe Greece. Yeah. But the point is find a movie that people already like and just run it a second time. I couldn't imagine greenlighting a miniseries that costs $100 million to make. I don't know how it works. Do more people sign up for HBO hearing about this?
They're paying for they're also buying the DVDs and renting the DVDs of the things that HBO makes. It's
wow.
Great. It's great because HBO actually is incredibly creative and has amazing projects, really well written.
It is great, but if I didn't need to attract advertisers, I would get very lazy. Very
you,
lazy.
Personally,
very
were
quickly.
You running the network?
Yes, I would. And like I said, I just assumed, like I said, it's one of those blue state things where it's like, yeah, everyone you know has satellite and they all just watch satellite television. No.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to, like the American automakers were forced to do a few years back with all the Japanese coming in.
Get it together.
You got to step it up.
Get it together.
You got to get it together. You can't just show, the Brady Bunch, not going to cut it. Gilligan's Island, not going to cut it. When people could switch over and go watch Curb Your Enthusiasm or The Sopranos.
Or House.
How dare you,
that's
Adam?
The point is no.
Well, that's too far above. That's too far above.
I'm using them as a network example, a non-paper example where that's what you have to step it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Network has definitely stepped it up these last few years because of that more competition.
Yeah, you have to do a better product. Scott?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. What's happening?
Just got a question for Drew. Recently, doctors found some spots in my lungs on an x-ray.
Yeah.
And I'm 28, never smoked in my life. Have a biopsy coming up a week from tomorrow.
Where are they? Do you know where they are in the lung?
I do not know exactly where.
Okay.
I don't think I'm the best doctor around, honestly. But,
are they on both sides?
No, just one side. There's like a couple spots.
Okay.
They recently tested my blood for, I don't know the exact technical name, but the generic term, I guess, is like valley fever.
Right. This could be, it's called coccidioidomycosis. It could be that.
That's what it was.
It could be cocci. It could be TB. It could be even something called histoplasmosis. There's a lot of little things.
How do they find it?
How do they determine it?
Well, he's 28. Was he having trouble breathing or something?
Why did you have the chest x-ray?
I was set up to have gastric bypass surgery, they were doing the pre-op work, and they found
it. I see.
Isolated solitary pulmonary nodules usually don't end up being too much, especially your age group. But interestingly, I just did a special tonight with Lance Armstrong where we were looking at his x-rays, and he was peppered with stuff all over his lung, and that was testicular cancer. That's different.
Metastasized into his lungs.
Into his brain. He had to have neurosurgery. It was crazy.
Scott. How much do you weigh?
Well, I've lost weight because I had to lose it for the surgery, and right now I'm about 420.
And what do you got to get down to before they do the surgery?
I've already lost what they wanted me to lose. It's just,
how much?
I've lost 50.
Wow. And how tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
And here's what I would do.
Proceed. Keep going. You're on the right track.
Yeah, it works.
Smart.
I'll tell you what I would do if I was one of these gastric bypass surgeries. I'd be like, look, we're going to need you to lose some weight before we can get you up on the gurney here. And then, like, lose 60 pounds and come back. And I'd go, all right, it's good. You're 350. We only need you to lose a couple more pounds before we do the procedure on you.
Down to 240.
Eventually, I'd just get him down about 175 and then tell him. And then I would still do it. Yeah. You thought I was going a different direction with that, but no, I would still do it.
There would actually be a rationale to that because people usually gain it back under those circumstances.
Right.
Here's what I'm starting to think. We got to take a break. But starting to think about with this surgery, because I've had a friend or two do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
If I had a kid who was 350 pounds and he was 19 years old, I'd say just do it. Don't be battling your whole life and doing damage to your heart and whatever pulmonary system.
But you have to do it and be committed to it. I mean, I have one friend who did it very successfully and really means it and has worked very hard at kind of dealing with her eating disorder. And I know another person who did it and didn't really feel like ever changing her diet. And so
Well, they still lose the weight, though.
But then they gain it back.
No, they don't. Who's on house? Okay. Right, we gotta take a break. We'll argue when we come back.
Loveline will be right back.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Lisa Edelstein here tonight.
Hi.
From House Fox. Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. We're just talking about that big earthquake in, where was it?
Pakistan.
And the destruction. But people don't realize that the materials they use for building in other parts of the world are just like tailor-made, underhanded softballs for earthquakes.
Yeah.
So every time you complain about the building inspectors, we should tell you to shut up because these guys are protecting us against.
Well, we go too
We've
far.
We've got other issues.
We go
here.
Sick on this side. Oh. And my only argument is if you have a house that was built in the 30s or even in the 20s and you do an addition to the house, why does the addition need to be 2,000% stronger than the house? Couldn't it be twice as strong as the house? Right. You understand?
Yes.
The house. And, you know, the inspectors always do a thing where they're like, well, what if there was an earthquake?
The house has been standing for 100 years.
The house has been unbolted, unshearwalled, no straps, no HDs, no nothing since the 20s. We've had three big ones, and it's fine. So what if? You tell me what if. What if there was someone living here when the big ones hit, you know, 10 years ago and the big one hit 30 years ago? There's someone sitting in this house, well, sleeping, because earthquakes don't work unless enough people have to have their eyes closed in order for them to hit.
Did you buy your house thinking about the earthquake situation? I did. Like, it's one floor.
No, I used to do earthquake rehab for a living, so I have no... I know exactly how houses react in earthquakes and what happens in earthquakes and what's good and what's bad. And no one has any problems except for Dr. Drew, who's got poured-in-place slabs.
Is that bad? Why?
Let's just take some calls. Tess, family will be fine. Tess, no, here's what you don't want in an earthquake. Just masonry is not the friend of an earthquake.
Right.
And certainly unreinforced masonry, which is what you have in all parts of the world, every place that's close to third world, first thing you have is unreinforced masonry. That's the number one. Yes.
You got a lot of mud brick buildings.
Not even mud brick. It's masonry, right?
Yeah.
But it's just not no
cement,
rebar.
Cement falls apart. That's why all the freeway overpasses fall apart. And even that is reinforced masonry, but some genius figured out that they needed to put a jacket around the stuff so it just didn't, you know, the pylons or the piers didn't just crumble.
I hate being on the freeway here when you're under all those overpasses. It's just terrifying to me, especially when you're stuck in traffic underneath them.
Well, the thing is, and we won't go too far off on the building and engineering, but here's the thing. The freeways are essentially fine. It's all of the piers that were holding up the freeways were concrete piers that had rebar inside of them, but the outside would crack and crumble and the things would fall down and then there was trouble. Mm. So they started wrapping them with steel so that the thing could not...
After the one we had in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. And after, like when the 10 fell.
After San Francisco, when the double-decker freeway collapsed on it.
That was horrifying.
Yeah, it was. And I don't know why someone didn't figure this out earlier, that if you took a cement post and you put steel in it, it would still just compress and crack and fall apart, essentially. All right, but now they're wrapping them with the steel, and it's all going to be fine. So these parts of the world that come undone with these big earthquakes, you know, if we have a 7.6 in Los Angeles... 8 people die. They have 20,000 people die.
Right, right. Yeah.
Tess?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yeah. Hi, Adam. I just want to say that we love you in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Drew and I love Pittsburgh.
We love Pittsburgh. I was just there a week ago.
Right. We listened to you when you were here, too.
Thanks. What's up, Tess?
I have a problem when I'm masturbating or after I masturbate. My leg, my calf muscle, it used to be just a Charlie horse, but over the years it's grown into a full-out spasm.
Yeah, got those.
And it lasts like 3 minutes after, and it kind of...
Adam gets those.
I started putting a warm-up cycle in my bathroom, you know, like they have on the... On the sidelines of the NFL games, receiver will just be pedaling on. It's just staying warm.
It's
just
nice.
Keeping the juices flowing.
Good.
You know, if you got to get in the game, you don't want to go in cold.
But is it just when you're masturbating, or is it when you have sex also?
No.
Not when you have sex.
You're talking to Adam or Tess?
Either.
I don't ride the bike before sex. Is that what you're asking?
It's a different warm-up.
He gets spasms in his chest when he does the pose down in front of the mirror afterwards, though. The things spasm all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Somebody had told me to eat bananas.
Yeah, potassium is good, but do you, some of this is hyperventilating, okay? So you want to watch your breathing while you're doing it. And the other thing is just tensing your muscles up. If you breathe and relax, this is less likely to happen.
Hold on. Tess.
Yes?
What's your ethnicity?
I'm black.
You're black? I'm just saying, whoever said eat the bananas line, that could have been, you know, a white guy. If a white guy said that could have been a very dangerous statement. I know their heart was in the right place, but you know what I'm saying, Drew? very volatile. I'm just saying, if a white guy said that, he'd have to have huevos the size of Pittsburgh. So, yeah, here's the thing. Don't point your toes when you masturbate. That'll cramp.
What?
That's what I do.
That'll cramp you up.
Yeah, stop doing that. Try not to do that. Try to relax the leg muscles. And you can, really, the muscles that need to contract usually are the adductor muscles, the muscles that pull your legs together.
Try to see if you can squeeze one off with your knees bent.
What?
Can you do it with your knees bent?
How dare you? That's bizarre.
Knees went off.
No, but if you're locking your legs out, you'll get the calf cramp.
Yes. Bend your knees.
Okay.
Don't point your toes. Breathe. You know, breathe. Don't hold your breath. Don't hyperventilate. And don't bear down.
Do
all that.
That's a lot to think about.
And then good luck having the orgasm. Right.
You're on your back, right?
Right, on my back. And at first it was just like a little Charlie horse, but now it's like...
Right. Don't lock them out. Don't lock your legs out. Drew, what happens when you lock... Thanks for calling, Tess. What happens when you lock your legs out?
You put your muscle into isotonic spasm. You're just constantly contracting until they spontaneously start to tear.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Is that what that pain is?
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten a calf cramp. Usually when I'm going for the hat trick.
You three? Know?
The
third time?
Hat trick.
Third time?
Yeah. Going for three.
Lee seems very intrigued by your use of language around the behavior of masturbation. She seems very interested in that.
You know, the hat trick, yeah.
The hat trick, squeeze one off. She liked that one, too.
Bear down. That was yours.
That was me.
Yeah.
Adam's an expert in this.
I don't go for the tri-fi anymore.
No.
Well, I was just wondering what was her technique?
Mm.
Because if she uses a tool,
yeah.
Like
good
a vibrator
question.
Or something, it might be easier for her to achieve without tensing because she doesn't have to do any physical work.
Lisa speaks from experience. Well Tess.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Sure. Yeah. I bet I could find one on
Mom,
you.
I know nothing about this. Anyway, sorry.
If I shook you now, one would fall out of you somewhere.
A tool.
Tess? Yeah. Do you have a toy, Tess?
No, it's just me.
Yeah.
Just you. See, the toy might worth help. Trying.
Why don't you try getting a toy?
Might hasten things.
I'm afraid of them. I'm think if I use a toy, I'll never go back to the real thing.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Just once in a while. But yeah. You're right. Actually, they can have a yeah. detrimental effect.
No, I agree. It's like someone putting a beer tap in their house and saying, "Oh, have a sip or two."
I was thinking, it's interesting how humans, even within normal spectrum behaviors, get momentum with stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of. I think we've made fun of over the at least last 20 or 30 years people trying to maintain abstinence and abstemiousness and stuff like, well, it's a big deal. It's a free country. Relax. But you start, you get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think a really important part of life is sort of knowing what you might fall prey to and not bringing it into your environment before you have a problem.
But some of it is, you know, really... avoiding some of the things. I mean, the church kind of had it right on some of these things. You know
no,
what
that's what
don't,
I mean.
Don't get it
I mean,
going.
I mean, I feel like if I, if I go out and buy a box of sugary cereal, I'll demolish it that day.
Right.
I won't be able to just have a bowl every other week for the next month and a half. So I just don't buy it. Don't bring it.
I buy chocolate in small bite-sized pieces.
Right.
Or else I'm in trouble.
Then eat 300 of them and cry.
No, I only buy one at a time.
Yeah, the point is if you like I said, if I put a keg in my house, it start off with a couple glasses at night, but eventually it'll be in for breakfast and over the cereal, mm-hmm. and I'll be, eating. It'll just be on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit
yeah.
salad. Put a little beer on there. So know your... So, but Tess is right. Tess feels like, look, I get this vibrator. Yeah. I don't know if she's going to go that crazy.
Maybe she'll go for that maybe for a week and it'll get boring. I mean, it's not that interesting.
Some people are able to do...
We're just interpreting what you say.
Here's what I'm saying.
A vibrator is not that interesting.
Tess's vibrator may be to you what chocolate is.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And you're uh-huh. asking her to bring a big block into yeah. the house, and she's into it, and there's other people that don't have a sweet tooth.
Let's put it this way. She masturbates every day until her leg rips apart.
Yeah.
doesn't stop her.
Right.
So you put a weapon in her hand and watch out.
Jenna?
Yes?
21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I kind of have this weird thing going on right now. I haven't had sexual intercourse in coming up on 3 years, nor engaged in any sexual activities besides, mm-hmm. Like the miniature making out sessions here and there when I'm tanked at the club or something.
When you're what at the club?
Drunk.
Hey, drunk at the club. All right.
Miniature making out sessions.
Yeah, and that happens like almost never.
Okay.
All right.
What's your question?
I'm 21 years old. I don't think it's probably the most healthy thing. I feel like the longer I go without any physical contact with male or sexual activity, the more I don't want it or desire it or anything.
Hmm. Mm. Yeah, were you hypersexual at some point?
No. See, that's the weird thing. I dated a guy while we were together for about 2 years, and then we had a pretty normal sex life or whatever. We broke up, and then I had kind of like a one-night stand with a guy right after we broke up, and that was years ago. Mm. And then I just shut down.
Did you feel dirty or something when you did that?
No, I didn't feel dirty. I don't know. Like, I just, put it on the back burner and then totally completely took it off the stove.
Well, are you depressed?
Am I what?
Depressed.
Depressed? Yeah. I go on and off. Like, I mean, not extremely, but,
All right, hold on. Let's talk about it. This sounds like someone is depressed.
She's definitely depressed, but it also sounds like there's a lot more going on in her life that she doesn't hook into what this is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of a symptom.
Jana?
What's going on with your family of origin? Are they still together? Is everything going okay?
My parents aren't together. I pretty much grew up with my mom. She had a substance abuse problem.
Okay.
I saw a lot of abusive relationships that she was in.
All right, well, there you go.
It's coming together.
And did you hear her boyfriends do anything weird to you?
No, not really. I was never molested or anything like that.
But it's enough to have A, be enough to just have an abandoning father that you never had a relationship with. B, all the other male figures you dealt with come in and create chaos and are abusive. So it makes sense that you shut down.
Intimacy issues.
Yeah, intimacy issues. All right. It makes sense to be.
How about some therapy, baby doll?
I haven't gone to a therapist or anything, but I just don't think that, if I keep,
All right, go to shrink.
Yeah. What you think doesn't matter, unfortunately. We're telling you that it really, I get frustrated when people go, well, I've got your opinion is great that you have an opinion, but you're asking experts for direction who have, hundreds or thousands of cases like this. You follow their direction.
Yeah.
Your experience is everything. Your experience is extremely valid, extremely important, but your opinion about it, you're 21 or whatever, 22, you've not studied this stuff. You're not in a position to have an opinion about it.
Well,
you should be following directions.
That's part of the problem of today's society is everyone's decided they're entitled to opinion and an expert about. Well, there's, you know what it is? Let me
but
tell you. I know what you're saying.
Everyone
feels
like they're an expert when they're 22.
Here's the thing. You don't think you're an expert at building. You don't think you're an expert at computers.
Right.
Here's the thing.
You think you figured it out. You figured out the human.
Here's the line of ass we've rammed up everyone's arse over the last 10 years, which is nobody knows you like you.
Right.
Nobody, only right. you know
you. Your body,
nobody can really know you like yourself. You got to look inside, but ultimately nobody knows. What the F does that mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. Of course, and again, if you apply any of this stuff to internal stuff, what do you mean? You know your own pulmonary system better than anyone else would know your own pulmonary system? That's why you should do work on yourself with a mirror?
Yeah, right.
Of course not. You don't do anything on yourself. You don't know your teeth. You don't know anything.
And not only that, if as a physician, knowing something, the last thing you do is work on yourself. Last thing.
Yeah, but no one knows you like you. And here's the problem. Here's the line of BS that got rammed up by the last 15, 20 years. Nobody knows you like you, and there's only one of you. Because that's how you would know. Right. That's how come you're an expert on yourself. Yeah. So now poor Drew, no one will listen to him.
Well, I had a thing where
don't talk. No, see, I'm a carpenter, so people have to listen to me because they don't know what I know. And they can't think they know what I know. And if they do, I'll start throwing around some stuff and they'll get screwed up and that'll be the end of that. Everyone listen to me. But Drew, they think they know. Now, they don't think they know the medical side, but they think they know the emotional side.
Don't talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I was dealing with producing a TV segment and I had a particular approach, a particular problem. And I brought some subjects in. I was going to have them tell their experience as a way of showing or about revealing the specifics about the situation I was trying to document. Listen to these people's stories and I'll interpret for you what that means. And one of the producers goes, well, this woman disagrees with you completely. I'm like, it doesn't matter. She's a subject.
Her opinion.
Her opinion is not what she's
just here.
Just
as valid as yours.
It's completely, she's 19. Her opinion. Yeah.
Bro,
I don't want to make her feel
depressed. She's got two semesters at junior college under her belt. Yeah. Come on.
Just experience.
Yeah,
experience means everything.
The third part of the no one knows you like you. The second part is there's only one of you. And then the third is everyone's opinion is valid.
Well, but
just as important as the next person because we're all human beings.
And that's what screws people up. So they're busily intellectualizing things that they have no training, no business thinking about and missing their experience.
Well, they have no perspective on it.
But they miss focusing on their experience, which is everything. That's what they have.
They're in their experience, so they cannot get perspective on it from the outside, especially at that age, because they don't have enough experience to look back upon and say, "Oh, that I felt that way that time, and that really turned
to hell."
To hell,
right?
So, yeah.
All right. Look, there's just the point is there's more stupid people than there are smart people. So start listening to Dr. Drew, would you please? David?
Yes.
22?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, I love the show, first of all.
Thanks.
Yeah, great.
Thanks.
And I just recently discovered that my parents are swingers.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you find out?
That's the terrible part. They went away. They had their friends.
The rust-colored shag in the living room wasn't a tip-off when you were a kid?
No, not quite.
Swinging carpet, you know.
What happened?
I had to borrow my dad's camera after the weekend that their friends were down.
Ooh.
So I took my photos and I was transferring them over to the computer.
Oh.
And I went through my photos, and I got to his, and it was all four of them in their bed.
Oh.
So that was a couple weeks ago, and I haven't said anything to him yet.
That hurts.
Did you see Mom naked?
It was bad, Adam.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, I don't know how graphic I can get on the show, but, you know, it was all there.
And it was them mixing it up with one another?
It was my parents and one other couple, man and woman,
but
that they've actually known and had down to the house, you know, for the past year and a half. And I've always
sure.
kind of had this, like, sneaking suspicion, and my friends, too, that, you know, there was something a little bit more, because my dad would be on the phone with, you know, the female portion of this couple for hours, you know, in a dark room, and I would walk in, and he would get all jumpy about it. So,
was your dad with the male portion?
Not in the pictures that I saw.
All right, that's hold on a sec. Well, that's good.
I'm on the fence.
It feels a little bogus. On the other hand, all right, pictures, but yeah. You know, see, old people, the dork still works, but you can't work the technology. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So old people are going to screw up with the cameras and the chips and the computers and all that stuff.
Because pictures of all four of them, there had to be, like, then you've got the,
who was taking the picture?
Tripod yeah. and the, yeah, the there's timer. A lot of setting up involved.
Let me tell you something with that timer, that picture timer thing. It's probably a good 30 seconds, but people treat it like it's 3.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. They always hit the timer
and
thing,
run.
Then they run, and then they dive into the group, and then the group gets all, and then you stand there, and it's like, what's happening? Oh, and then about the time the guy figures out the thing's not working, he takes a step toward it, and then you see the flash.
Yeah. It's true.
Someone ought to really explain to people what 30 seconds really is. Guy on a good run can cover, you know, 200 yards in 30 seconds. You can cover the 6 feet in the living room, and you know, it's not too. You don't have to dive. You don't have to do the shoulder roll. How cruel! The person who invented the camera says, "Well, we can put a timer on it. Let's give them 2 seconds. They give me a while." I'm just saying. I'd like people to work that out. That's all I'm saying. All right, where the hell? We're talking David.
Yeah. So
David, I believe you because your information is specific.
Well, and to be more specific, it wasn't all four of them in the shot. It was two or three at a time. So,
all right. Mm. All right.
I never saw my dad and the other guy in the same.
All right. So here's the deal. Maybe you shouldn't get into this with them at all. You're 22.
Honestly,
what?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I love my parents and we have a really good relationship right now. And, you know, I'm on the verge of moving out at this point.
Oh yeah.
Expedite. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Expedite.
You're 22. It's time.
Expedite the move out. Don't take on any of these habits. I worry about your parents' relationship. If the relationships start to fall apart, maybe you could then be helpful to them by asking them to get a professional involved because these behaviors usually lead to trouble.
What's your dad do?
But maybe it's been going on for a long time.
I know, but it probably has, well, a year and a half, he said.
What's
but
your dad?
Maybe there were other couples before
it leads
that.
Leads to trouble, though. It's
yeah, of course. It's,
and I don't even know that. Not, like,
what's your dad?
My dad's a lawyer. My mom works for him.
Mm.
But this is the first couple I've ever really seen them interact this way with.
All right. But, David, what are you doing that you're 22 and you're still living at home?
I'm a full-time student, part-time job.
All right. Well, it's time to go a little more full-time at the work, a little part-time at the student.
Expedite.
Just get out of there. 22.
It'll make a huge difference in your life.
Yeah. No. Do you have brothers and sisters, out of curiosity?
Yeah. Just got to.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I'm sorry?
You have brothers and sisters?
I have one younger brother who's away at college. He just moved out.
No, don't bring him into this.
No, don't.
When
don't
he's
bring
like 24,
it.
Bring it up.
Don't bring anyone into any. No.
I don't think.
What would the point be?
You might
never
want to know.
What would you accomplish by discussing this with your parents? They're going to be defensive.
I don't know that he was calling to ask, you know, what to do with the parents. I think they just want to talk. Like, you know, my feeling. Mm. Should I feel this way? Mm. You should feel weirded out. You should also get over it. You should also not think it can work in your life, but you should get the F out of Dodge.
Agreed. There we go. That's our
everybody,
advice.
Here's the thing.
Everybody's sexual, so there's no surprise there.
The longer, the longer.
Well, yeah, really?
No. I mean, yeah. The longer you spend in your house as an adult or as a sort of right-thinking adult, the more S you're going to find out that's going to disappoint you. Like, yes. Here's the deal. Somewhere around, I don't know, 12 or something, you start getting the ability to sort of form thoughts and really understand that your parents, even though they're your parents, have their foibles and their shortcomings and are human beings. There's a certain point, I don't know when it is, 15
is when it really comes into focus.
Yeah, okay, but there's a plenty of 13-year-olds out there now who understand that dad is maybe not the greatest dad in the world or whatever. Mm. Okay, now it's game on. Now you better hope you don't stumble on his stash of weird, you know, gimp porn or whatever. You're going to hear something. You're going to see something. Now, the longer you hang out with your adult brain where you can process information, the more likely you're going to find something or be disappointed.
Keep the fantasy.
Get out at 18.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd go through my house like that movie Tommy. I put a ball in my mouth. I put a shade on my eyes. Mm-hmm. I put stuff in my ears. And I just have to feel my way through the house.
And, man, the stuff you'd find.
Oh.
All right, let's go to break.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Loveline. Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lisa Edelstein here tonight.
My new favorite show, House.
Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock.
After which you can watch TLC and pick up Adam's show.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. TLC,
perfect
everybody.
Timing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, House, hour-long show. Watch that on Fox, and you switch over, and you get to watch me build a house. All right, where are we, Drew?
Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cynthia.
Yes.
25?
Yes.
What's up?
I had a question. I recently found out that I'm pregnant. I found out about 6 weeks or so, and I was taking Depakote and Effixor.
Yeah.
And I'm also a meth user.
None of those things are good, right?
Right. So. This is also my sixth pregnancy. I had 5 abortions before this.
Mm. Oh, goodness sakes.
Good.
No birth control in your life?
I was taking the morning after pill. My boyfriend and I were pretty much exes, and so we weren't having sex that often. And when we did, I used the morning after pill, and it took me just as much by surprise and found out I was pregnant. And
wait, the morning after pill. Well.
You were just using it every time you had sex, the morning after pill? That's so intense.
Yeah, it was like 2 times, 3 times, that was it.
Well,
wait, Cynthia, whoa.
Are you counting that as an abortion?
No, I had 5 actual abortions prior. Yeah.
But Cynthia, are you counting using the morning after pill?
It's not birth control.
It's not birth control.
Yeah, I didn't see any reason to get on actual birth control again because it was so infrequent and all we do is fight, really. And
yeah, but morning after pill is not birth control.
Right. She understands that sort of.
The birth control is 99.97% effective. The morning after pill, in the best of circumstances, is about 85%.
But you had 5 medical procedure abortions.
Yes, I did. And the last one I hemorrhaged, and I didn't think that I could even get pregnant, but still I took precaution and took the morning after pill when it happened.
How much meth do you do?
Daily, every day.
If I had an abortion clinic, I would just treat it like a sub shop, or I'd give you the 6-1 free. That's thing. Like, let me see the stamp. Card. Yeah, let me punch that. Sweetie, let me see the card.
Your card.
You don't have it on you. Well, I'm just saying, any good business, let's face it, gentlemen, it's a business. Do not kid yourselves. I would be lying to you if I said abortion wasn't a business. It's all, whatever kind of business you have, you got to make money. I mean, you got to keep the, you know, you got to keep the electricity on. If it works, you know, for Starbucks, why not for abortion clinics?
So, Cynthia, the Effexor is not good during pregnancy. The meth, obviously, not good during pregnancy. So, what are we going to do here?
I don't know. Everything so far is looking for me to not have it based on that. Plus, the father is saying that if I do have it, that I'd be on my own. And he threw me out the car when he found out that I was pregnant. And
Cynthia,
it's a bad situation. It's very bad.
All right. I can feel an F-bomb or an S-bomb coming up. So speak slowly, baby.
Don't use the F-word or the S-word.
Yes. Rated. You know, they say measure twice, cut once. What I'd like all our listeners to do is think twice, speak once.
I think she already did, actually.
No, I don't think she dropped the F or the S bomb. It just sounded like it was coming. Okay.
Yeah, but Cindy, here's the deal. Deal with this pregnancy as you please. Give it up for adoption if you see it through. That'd be a wonderful.
But is it a viable
gift to that child? Yeah, you don't know. It could be. It could be.
But
it's also reasonable to get an abortion given the fact this could be a damaged biological situation. And get the hell out of that relationship. And if you're stuck in the cycle of abuse, get some battered women's help.
Yeah.
And there's organizations out there that help specifically.
So it comes with the territory of meth. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
So it comes with that.
And then all this stuff, like he threw me out of the car while it was moving. And it was, I know everyone just does that, but that's also. This guy's an idiot. I'm sure it didn't exactly.
Yeah, but they're
go
both
the
in
it.
They're both in the relationship too. So she's getting something out of that relationship.
Oh, of course, because her dad was abusive, and now she gets to relive it. Yeah. And then everything's abuse because he didn't push you out of the car while it was moving. You were fighting with him, and he pushed you out of the car while it was rolling or whatever. But that's how it goes down. It's like, look, once you get abused and you get abused enough, then everything is rape, everything is physical abuse, everything is everything.
And you don't have any role to play.
Right. You don't have any responsibility in it.
Right. Yeah. You hear these stories. That's how you know. People were victimized. You hear these stories like, well, we're just driving down the street and all of a sudden he flings the door open and pushes me out.
Yeah.
Just driving down the street. Yeah. You're trying to claw his corneas out with your fingernails. That's when he pushed you out. Now, he's an idiot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's an abuser. Don't get me wrong.
But
you don't realize you have to dance with all these people. It's all these people's stories. Like, you know, when you hear that stuff, it's like, here's how it goes. Teacher gave me an F because they hate me, man. I was a good guy. That leads to
the best employee.
Boss hates me. And I always like this one, too. And I always say to them, too, really?
You're the best employee?
You did the work of three people, and yet the guy fired you. Why do you think that is? He's jealous.
Yeah.
He's jealous. Yeah.
He's threatened.
Yeah, believe me, I've employed plenty of people. I'm rarely jealous of the ones that excel. I actually, my thing is like, I want to graft some of your skin onto these lazy SOBs over here and see if I can grow a decent employee. I'm not jealous of you. By the way, when did we start tossing this jealousy thing out like it was an actual viable answer for everything?
I think you've got some employees going now where stuff like this is going to.
This person just tells you that because they're jealous, man. Because they're. Maybe you really are a bad employee. Maybe you do actually are whatever they're saying. Go ahead and listen. And if you've been fired from multiple jobs, assume it's not everyone's jealous of you.
And by the way, there's also a price to be paid for working around people. Sometimes. When someone is so aggressive or obnoxious or just painful to be around, people will let a good employee go. Either because they perceive a liability, like this is someone who eventually is going to do something scary.
Yes.
Or it's just life is too short. This guy's pissing me off all the time.
Yeah, but ultimately, if you're really doing great work, people will find a way, just like a great athlete.
We call that show business then.
Well,
you know what I mean, because that's what happens in showbiz, that people are paying, they get away with stuff.
No,
in the real world, they go, no.
Let me just bring you my own thing here for a second. Good carpenters, hard to find good carpenters. And good carpenters can be super flaky and you won't cut them loose. And good carpenters can miss days and good carpenters can cuss out the foreman and stuff like that because they're so skilled at what they do and they're such short supply. People will look the other way.
But in a way, you're sort of making both of our points there. They will look the other way, but many people at a certain point will finally go, I don't care how good he is.
And the minute they find an option, that guy's out.
Yeah. At a certain point,
Yeah.
So, it's like finding an honest contractor.
Maggie?
Yes?
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I was having a lot of problems with my period. Like, every time I was on it, it was, like, incredibly, incredibly painful. Like, I was in my bed screaming for the whole time.
Nice.
And I went to the doctor, actually a different doctor than my normal one, and they caught that I had endometriosis. And I've had it since I was, like, been having the same problems since I was in, like, sixth grade.
So you were, like, hemorrhaging, essentially, every time you had your period.
Yeah. And they went in and did a laparoscopy for it.
Uh-huh.
And fixed it, but... And that was probably about 4 months ago now. Uh-huh. And then they put me on Depo-Provera to stop my period so it could heal or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And But I've been bleeding the whole time. I've been on depo constantly, maybe off for like a week.
Maggie, that's what happens to everybody that takes the depo. Yep. You have 3 months of bleeding, and then you're
happened to me for 3 months.
The thing is that I'm still in a lot of
five
pain,
months,
and I've gone to the doctor about it. And whenever I go to the urgent care or whatever, and they do a blood test to see, because they're always worried that it's appendicitis because it's pain in that area.
Right.
My white blood count's always up at like 1,600.
16,000.
They're like, well, it's not. They do like a CAT scan. And they go, well, it's not appendicitis, so we're just going to send you home. And I'm just worried since it's a lot of pain. And I mean, it took them how long to catch the endometriosis? I don't really trust my doctors.
Well, here's the deal: 16,000 is not normal. Okay, it warrants at very least careful supervision. So you go back to your doctor, you get checked, you get followed. And CAT scan, MRI, ultrasound, all that of that area where there are symptoms is a reasonable thing to do. But, the appendix does get missed an awful lot. You may want to see a general surgeon just to see if that's a possibility. It doesn't sound like anything you should be alarmed about. The reality is that if this is something more serious than just endometriosis, it will show itself with time. So as long as you're being watched and followed and carefully sort of examined across time, they'll figure this out eventually. You've got kind of a funny idea about endometriosis. Endometriosis is just uterine tissue out in your pelvic cavity. And it sets up there and actually menstruates. And when you're in your period, it gets very irritating to the lining of your pelvis. And they go into the laparoscope and they take it all out.
I'm looking to end senior abuse.
I think we should.
That's my thing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. All right, you cool?
Cool.
Just end senior abuse. Would you?
That's fair enough.
Let's just do that. All right.
Good.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. You got to be a little more specific than that, don't you? But let me just say, as we were talking about earlier, how much senior abuse is actually going down, and who's responsible, and do you know anyone that's doing it, and don't they get abused when they go to those crappy homes?
Well, that's part of the campaign. But I think what's happening...
Who's actually doing the senior abusing,
is what I'm saying. The kids, usually.
The kids, their children.
And it's usually...
Are they physically abusing them?
That's usually sort of inadvertent. It's like they don't really realize we have this huge aging population.
Aging.
And people aren't being raised to understand what that population needs. And they leave them in their feces and they don't take care of them and their skin breaks down. That's considered elder abuse. They just don't know.
Uh-huh.
So there is also overt abuse when they start struggling and fighting with them and stuff.
Yeah.
And the point is just raising awareness about the services that are available to help deal with old people.
I think a lot of it is, listen, old man, I've waited 70 years to give you an ass whooping. Now I finally feel like I can do it.
I know. You felt like you could kick your dad's ass.
I'll give my dad a few more years, and then I'm going upside his head with a folding chair.
Well, we don't live in a society where we have a natural order of respecting our elders.
Or we don't live with them as much, you know.
That's right. You know, in Japan, they respect their elders over there.
Anywhere but here.
And
it's better.
In
Iceland, it's better.
Yeah. Then they harpoon some whales, and then they capture sharks and just cut the fin off and throw them back. And then they eat some sushi off a virgin, and then they commit suicide. But... they respect their elders over there. You understand me? Yeah, don't worry about the wailing.
There's no senior abuse there.
They respect their elders. Yeah. All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
That's Dr. Drew, Lisa Edelstein here tonight from House, Tuesday nights, Fox, 9 o'clock. And then after that, you watch my TLC show. Learn a little something about home improvement.
Their whole evening is planned on Tuesday. It's easy night.
Yeah, you don't have to leave the house.
Or TiVo.
Or you do the TiVo
thing. And then you listen to you guys on the radio.
Yeah. Steve?
I had an interesting thing. I did a show with Lance Armstrong tonight that's going to air during the week. It's pretty good.
When's it air? I thought you already did that.
He aired tonight at 8, but he's going to keep airing throughout the week. You know, do that stuff. But just keep an eye out for it. It's a good show. It's a good show.
Is he a nice guy?
Very nice guy. Just totally impressed.
Really?
So I was prepared. You know we are.
Yeah.
I was prepared to sort of go, whatever.
Where was he?
We get over people pretty easily. And he was a mensch. He was a good guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You think he knows what the word mensch means?
No.
Okay.
Not a Jew.
Steve?
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. You're 21?
Yes.
Yeah. What's up?
I got this problem with my nose. I don't know what's going on. It's been like a year now. I wake up in the morning, I just got like blood. It's either blood or it's dried up blood. And it really like hurts my throat in the morning and stuff.
Why don't you get it looked into, Steve?
What's that?
Why don't you get this looked into? Are you doing cocaine or speed or anything?
No, I've never done drugs before.
Are you getting this looked
twice? And my doctor just tells me it's a normal thing and it'll go away.
Did you see your nose and throat doctor?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did you see an ear, nose, and throat doctor?
Yeah. And well, then doctor I can really go to.
Is he a specialist in ears, nose, and throats?
I'm enlisted, and they pretty much just palm me off to whoever.
All right, Steve, get an ENT consult. Fine, then take control of things. Get an ENT consult. There you go.
Steve sounds like a delight.
Yeah.
You can, when the weather gets dry, maybe it has been pretty dry lately, you can just get those spontaneous bleeds.
Oh, sure. If you're running the heater, if it's really dry in your house. Maybe if you get a humidifier. Mm-hmm. Get a humidifier for the room.
Yeah, it could be a lot of different things, all of which needs more formal evaluation. So,
Steve.
Those are all good suggestions.
What are you doing? Construction?
Real estate, he said.
No, he's enlisted.
No, I work on a ship.
Oh, he's enlisted.
Work on a ship.
Well, that could be pretty stuffy, can it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they're allowed to have a humidifier on a ship.
No, probably
you don't need one. You're in a body of water.
All those guys laughed.
What is your, what kind of vessel are you on, Steve?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are you on a submarine?
No.
Oh.
What kind of to be honest with you.
You can't say?
Can't say what type of ship it is?
You're not under the water. You're not dealing with pressure, air pressure.
No.
Issues.
You can't say what kind of ship you're on?
Well, I can tell you it's just like similar to
a big ship.
Aircraft carrier, there you go.
Similar. Are you going to be going overseas?
I already went.
How was it?
It was all right.
Okay.
It was all right.
Well, let's wait. Well, if you listen to him mornings on KLSX, you'll hear here's the whole thing. Yes. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Yeah. I'm amazed at people that do things that are interesting and have nothing really to say about it.
Or be even more sort of mystified by our interest.
Yeah.
Like, why'd you want to know anymore? It's all right.
We were in the Gulf of Tonkin for a while. A couple of planes hit our ship, but yeah.
What else?
It's cool.
Okay. Yeah. aircraft carrier.
Maybe he doesn't want to think about it in that much detail.
A couple of Fallujahs.
It wasn't okay at all.
Sorties in a Fallujah.
The guys on the ships don't seem to have the battle fatigue syndrome that the guys, the ground pounders
have. I noticed
have.
That. At least our callers that fit that profile.
Yeah, because most of these guys, well, here's the whole thing about the aircraft carrier. First off, floating cities.
Literally.
Floating cities. If I hear another aircraft carrier special refer to it as the floating city, I will kill myself. It is a floating city, literally a float. It has barbers. It has a soup kitchen.
It has washing.
We get it. There's 4,000 people that live on it. We understand. You got to have a barber's chair. Yeah. I've done the math. You're at sea for 6 months. I understand. You have to bring some food. I understand how that goes. I understand how that would go. So the thing about it is. Most of these guys are working on something that keeps the ship going.
Right. Not any sort
of... They're not actually on the deck with the 50 caliber machine gun. They're actually doing something that trash disposal, laundry, whatever.
Support services,
which is not going to get you laid. But you also don't have, wake up in the middle of the night, cold sweat pouring down your face, thinking that you screwed up a starched shirt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you need. Heather?
Yes.
You know the thing that's crazy? The nuclear powered ones, they don't have to do no fueling for like 25 years.
Wow.
25 years.
Crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? They just have that those rods, baby, and those rods give off heat for 25 years. Well, probably 250 million years. But the point is here's the thing. Those ships would burn a million gallons of diesel fuel every week if they were just turning that prop, burning it.
How come they don't ever worry about, you hear the China syndrome and meltdowns. How come they ever worry about somebody dropping something in one of those ships and a meltdown occurring?
The nuclear subs have sunk before.
But I mean somebody dropping something explosive on them. You know what I mean? Why don't they worry about that more than a meltdown
in the propulsion system?
In other words, this is a
sabotage.
Exactly. Like why aren't there's a lot of terrorist attention.
Is it a floating bomb?
A lot of terrorist attention to nuclear power plants. Why don't they have the same attention to the floating cities?
Well, first off, the power plant has six guys in those yellow windbreakers.
No fighter pilots
standing around. No. They don't have six decks above them of well-trained guys with, you know what I mean? You're not going to. They can't defend themselves. That's the whole thing. They have inadequate security. That's the scary part about the morally safer shows up with a camera crew, finds a gate that's open and walks.
And why do we have a nuclear power plant on the ocean, on the fault line just below Los Angeles?
You're talking about
San Onofre.
San Onofre?
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know, but you know what? It works, and here's the deal: you'd be burning coal otherwise, and that's the reality.
And contributing to the
that's
ozone.
Right. That's right, Heather.
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
I've been diagnosed and treated. I can't say completely treated, but I've been treated for depression and PTSD. And
post-traumatic stress disorder. And what else?
An attention deficit disorder.
And what is your question?
I want to have children. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, you guys talk about it a lot, like, people with messed up histories having children.
Well, but no, Heather, people with messed up history don't acknowledge that they have a messed up history. You're somebody who's in careful treatment or being managed.
Yeah, and they've thinking had three about kids it. By now.
Right.
You're giving it thought.
Just because you have mental issues doesn't mean, or mental disorders, doesn't mean that you can't have kids. It's going to be dicey because you have to come off your meds and you have to be very carefully managed, but... Mazel tov. Keep going. This is not the situation we're talking about where people...
Plus, her issues sound circumstantial, not necessarily genetic. She's in post-traumatic stress.
I think that's what she's though referring to is that we're always saying screwed up people having kids and
raising
then acting
kids.
That out on the kids. But this is not her. I mean, her kids are going to have a little challenge because she's got some chronic illness, but no more challenge than a mom with, cystic fibrosis or chronic back injury or whatever. So that's all right.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Okay, I guess that'll do it.
Well, that's it. That's the show, yeah. Drew, come on, buddy.
Lisa Edelstein, House, my favorite show. House, Tuesday, 9 o'clock.
Fox. Drew, showing up.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Drew, it was a game time decision.
It was.
We did not know if Drew was going to go or not.
Going to suit up. And then if A, was I going to suit up? B, was I going to make it through the game?
Yeah. The point is he showed up and went to work. Lisa, God love you. God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll take ourselves a little extendo break. God willing, Drew will be back 100% tomorrow night. Until next time, Santa Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.